This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with Preston doing what he does best. Tell us about fascinating UFO cases. Let us continue.
Yeah, another thing I was curious, I asked this school teacher, you never saw another thing like that? She's like, no. Is this a one-off? Because that's pretty unusual where someone will see an ET just once. Generally speaking, when someone has that close of an encounter, they're involved in some way. So I started doing some deep questioning. I'm like, okay, let's go to your childhood. Because this is when it usually starts for contactees. I'm like, have you had any unusual experiences in your childhood? She's like, actually, yeah. Didn't want to go there, but since you've asked, when I was a little girl, I had weird figures coming into my bedroom. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. What happened? I can't really tell you what they looked like. I know they were short. Scared the living daylights out of me. It was always in the middle of the night. I'd scream. I'd call for my parents. They'd come running in and nothing would be there. Happened often enough where our parents said, stop waking us up in the middle of the night. I really feel for kids who go through this because generally speaking, their parents don't believe them, which is true in this case. But she does have one incident where she remembers not being in her room. She woke up and she was in a small room, rounded walls. It was quite bright. She's on a table, a metallic-looking table. She looks to her right. There's what look like medical instruments. She can again see these figures, but they're just sort of silhouettes. She can't really tell what they look like. She didn't think they were human, though. They were too short. She sounds like an abductee to me. She had nightmares after this. Night terrors, I guess you might call them. She did have prior UFO sightings. Did see other strange humanoids later on. This is the pattern I usually see.
She had an experience, or a history, I guess, of UFO experiences. About what year was it that she encountered this praying mantis alien?
2006, yeah. One and only time. And, I've heard many accounts of praying mantis ETs, but they're usually maybe 8 feet tall, maybe nine. But the two people I've talked to described 15-foot tall praying mantis were both excellent witnesses. The other guy I talked to, Kevin Cannon, was a Navy medic, and he's, had an onboard experience and was right next to one of these things. I'm like, are you sure it wasn't like maybe 9 feet tall? And like, Preston, I'm sure. I think it was 5'10". And he says it was easily twice my height. Easily. He says it was like looking up at the top of a basketball hoop, a basketball board. That's how tall it was. And with the school teacher, she could see this walking right under the streetlight. And she walked up to the streetlight and looked at it, and measured it. Eyeballing it. So she has a pretty good handle on how tall this thing was. Yeah, she estimated it was taking 10-foot strides. A person can't do that, not even on stilts.
I mean, there was a case that was going on. I mean, this was happening for a while. Was that exactly? You guys might be able to help me out a bit, but there were these night stilt walkers that were going around parks and stuff, dressed in costumes, doing this walking around in stilts thing, and there was people who had even videotaped this.
That sounds like a good title for a movie, Walking Around on Stilts Thing.
The Stilt Walkers.
Speaking of TV and movies, we just learned that Debris, this NBC show from the creator of Fringe about the outcome of the debris from a crashed or destroyed starship, has been canceled. And the last episode of the 13-episode season ended with basically a cliffhanger. So they left the story hanging, they do with a lot of these series. You get into it, if you could, it's kind of dense. You get into it, you enjoy the characters, and you want to find what the solution's going to be. They brought in John Noble, if you remember him from Fringe, as a villain character in the final episode or two. Kaput.
That sucks. They did that with the 4400, too. But you said that they're bringing that back. They're doing a relaunch of it.
They're doing a reboot of the 4400 on the CW this coming year.
I'm still waiting for the ultimate E.T. movie that portrays it wholly accurately. I mean, Close Encounters of the Third Kind was pretty good. And there was the Intruders miniseries, you know, based on Bud Hopkins' work.
Right.
But most of this stuff is so fictionalized. I mean, even the movie Fire in the Sky, which was a great movie until he was actually taken on board, that was entirely dramatized. It was not what happened. Not even close.
Now, Tracy Torme, the producer of the film, was on the PowerCast. And he explained part of that is that the real plot line, what really happened, would have duplicated existing Hollywood property. So therefore, they didn't want to just match what was there already in basically a fictional film, even though based on fact, so they changed it, allegedly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, because I can't tell you how many people came up to me, freaked out, saying, oh my God, is this what happens when you're taken on board? This is terrifying. Like, no, nope, not what happens. I think they should have just gone with it. It's an interesting story enough. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand that, this got to please the producers, the mucky mucks and all that.
You never know when they take a property in Hollywood, regardless of the story, how it's going to end up. Because suddenly you have lots of hands in the pie, and a lot of these movies are funded by a bunch of private equity companies investing. And each of these companies, who may only be in it because of the money, will decide they want to have some creative control. That's why when you watch these movies, the credits, closing credits or opening credits, you see like 26 executive producers. That's 26 people, most of whom wrote checks.
Yep, everyone wants to put their piece in the, their fingers in the pie. This is true with reality TV, too. I tell you, I've been on a number of shows, and sometimes you have to be careful when you're watching TV. It's edited.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you on a couple of them, actually. It's like, hey, there's Preston.
Yeah, you know? Get this. I was just recently, this is probably going to make you laugh. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians called
what?
Yeah. I talked to Khloe and Kim Kardashian about UFOs. They wanted to call one down. They live in Malibu. They live in this major hotspot and wanted some advice on how to call down a UFO. So I did. I gave it to them. Meditate, bring a flashlight, stay out late at night, and so forth. And they did it.
Okay, so wait a minute. You say you gave it to them. All right.
No.
With both barrels, you gave it to them.
They were nice. I have to say they were really nice people and did what I said, stayed out late at night, and actually did catch footage of this unknown light, this anomalous-looking orb type thing. Scared them enough where they ran back inside, which I told them not to do.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question here, Preston. Are you sure they really did that? Maybe they just made it up for the show.
Yeah, I can't say for sure. I wasn't there. This was done over Zoom. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, that sounds fun, though, anyway. So I think that's a great story. We can't forget to mention here, though, when we're talking about entertainment and films, that, of course, James Fox still has his documentary, The Phenomenon, out there. And that's pretty, it's not really dramatized much. It's pretty true-to-life stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it. I thought it did a really good job. It's not a whole lot of new information for, UFO researchers. Covered what I would say are the classic cases that have been pretty well covered before, but he dug up firsthand witnesses, documentation he really dug deep. It was really well done, I thought, and really kind of cemented these cases into history.
We got more to come with Preston Dennett, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I see Randall is fading. Anyway, by the way, Preston will continue with us on After the Paracast this week, part of the Paracast Plus. Now, speaking of movie properties and such, I read somewhere, and I have to look up Variety or somewhere, where Leslie Kane's book UFO was purchased by Hollywood. Now, I have no idea how that's going to turn out. We'll give you the classic story, okay? a certain flying saucer book from the 50s was purchased by Hollywood. It was Major Donald Keough's book. I think Flying Saucers from Outer Space. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first two or three books were almost the same with different sightings. It's almost like he could write one book and just fill in a few blanks. In any particular case, Hollywood bought the movie. The first 30 seconds showed something that was a fairly credible presentation of UFO sightings. And then the aliens were on the loose. The movie, based on a fact book or suggested by a fact book, came in 1956, Earth versus the Flying Saucers. And Keough was really upset. He was very naive about Hollywood. He didn't realize that when you option a book to Hollywood, if they decide to proceed with the project, unless you get creative control, which is rare, rare, they can do anything they want.
Yeah, I always have to laugh when you hear this little disclaimer on the beginning of a movie, suggested by real events. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
From the headlines on Law and Order.
Yeah, I've been on, you know, some TV shows once they handed me my list of questions, and I'm like, okay, these are kind of interesting, and then they handed me my answers. I'm like, what? It was totally scripted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, another time I was doing a news segment, Channel 4 News came to interview me about a flying saucer landing in this field. This was in Topanga Canyon. I showed them where it landed. I'm like, it was right here. You know, I've got two witnesses who saw it directly, other people around who saw it in the sky. And they're like, oh, wow, where's the landing marks? I'm like, well, there's no actual physical traces that we could find. And he points to a gopher hole. He says, is that it? I'm like, no, that's actually a gopher hole. He says, would you mind sticking your hand in there and saying that's a landing trace? I'm like, yeah, I mind. He says, well, would you just point to it then? And I knew what they were doing at that point. I was wise to this. I'm like, no, I'm not even going to point to that because I knew how it would end up.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I was telling you about. New Line and HBO Max and producer Laura Bickford have teamed up to frame a movie around fact-based modern government investigations into UFOs. Bryce Cass has penned the script. Based on investigative reporter Leslie Kane's journey while investigating and covering unexplained aerial phenomena over many years, the movie will also tell the story of Luis Elizondo. It also mentions Christopher Mellon. So this apparently is a fictional movie, but it's based supposedly on fact. Now, just to mention this, Bickford is a producer of some very famous films like Traffic. So she has certainly a major, major level of credibility in Hollywood. It doesn't tell us what this is going to be. It's a fiction movie. It's going to be, what, sci-fi or something like that? It's not a documentary, folks.
It could be okay, though. It might be, good to check out. I mean, ufology, occult. I just said ufology. It's a word I hate.
You're fired.
The ufology culture is pretty cool. I love it. So it doesn't, it doesn't always have to be factual for me, so long as I know the difference. And knowing the difference kind of makes the fiction even more interesting, kind of, because you can go, hey, I know that, where that came from. That's kind of, it's cool to see that in there. It's one of the reasons I love the X-Files so much.
Yeah, X-Files was a good show. I think they covered some of this stuff accurately, too.
Well, the only exception would be X-Files. I think when they brought it back, they relaunched it with the original cast. I don't think they did as well as they could have. I think the final episodes were, disappointing.
Well, that's how it goes with a lot of that stuff. I mean, everything runs its course eventually, so.
But here, the show ran its course, and they brought it back anyway.
Yeah.
It ran two courses.
Who thinks up anything new anymore, really, It seems like it's all ideas or actual shows that have been done before and just relaunched or reimagined.
CBS specializes in that. They've got Magnum PI, a new generation, no resemblance whatever except maybe in character names to the original with Tom Selleck. They brought back Hawaii Five-O, which has managed to last 9 seasons. They bring back these shows with new casts, younger casts, and they try to find new energy in it. I don't know if they take the original stories or not. MacGyver came back. If you remember the original MacGyver, he would take toothpaste and make some kind of fabulous invention. And that was played by Richard Dean Anderson, who later on went to Stargate SG-1. Now, they brought it back with this young anonymous actor who wasn't terribly good, and it lasted about 5 years. I don't know how, and that ended this past year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they bring back everything. If they remake the Titanic one more time.
Well, they brought back, A Star Is Born was made 4 times. Now, I have to say this, the current Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga won multiple Academy Awards. I saw it, it was a pretty good film.
Yeah, it was good.
But
check that out.
How many times do you redo the story?
True. I guess every 25 years. I'm not sure. the last really creative thing that was, I mean, even it wasn't an entirely new idea, but, I mean, 1999 with The Matrix. That was really something that was phenomenal. And I haven't really seen anything to that extent that is that kind of groundbreaking in terms of filmmaking since.
I'm done with the Superman movies, too. Please stop.
Well, you know, wait a minute. The TV series Superman and Lois, and it borrows some from what we call the Snyderverse. It has a darker aspect. It shows Superman and Lois Lane married for, 15, 20 years. So this is an older Superman and Lois Lane. They have teenage kids, one of whom is developing superpowers. And it's really well done. The special effects quite decent. And they brought in other characters, DC characters. So I think in that case, it's very well done. Now, I understand about Superman movies. Man of Steel I liked, except for the final third, where he and General Zod destroyed Metropolis. I thought that went overboard. But I think the character was well done, especially trying to show this outcast from another planet trying to cope with life on Earth and understanding his powers. I thought it was very well done. I thought Henry Cavill was good, just as Tyler Hoechlin is good playing Superman on Superman and Lois. So, yeah, I think that it's possible to bring these characters back, as they've done for, 70, 80 years, and give them credibility and make them relevant in this day and age. We've got more to come with Preston, Gina, Randall. They'll disagree with me, but that's all right. Everybody does. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Amid the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border, Vice President Kamala Harris is heading to Mexico and Guatemala on her first trip to the region. Here is set to arrive in Guatemala Sunday night. It's her first trip to Central America since President Biden tasked her with tackling the surge of migration from the region. Republican Congressman August Lugar of Texas believes the Biden administration has failed in its responsibility to address the southern border crisis.
The administration, President Biden, Vice President Harris, have abdicated their responsibilities to keep Americans safe. They have abdicated their duties. This is a federal issue. The state of Texas had to declare emergencies in 34 counties.
Former President Trump is endorsing Representative Ted Budd of North Carolina to replace retiring Senator Richard Burr in 2020. USA Radio News. Back-to-back earthquakes are being reported in Southern California on Saturday. The U.S. Geological Survey says the strongest was a magnitude 5.3 quake with a depth of 5 kilometers. All of them struck just before 11 a.m. local time near Salton Sea in Imperial County. That's about 7 miles from Calipatria and about 25 miles from El Centro. Residents in San Diego, Oceanside, Escondido, and near the Mexico border say they felt it. The first four earthquakes had preliminary magnitudes between 4 and 4.6. A Florida man has a good reason to quit his job, but he says he won't.
Pensacola's Gregory Thomas recently won $1 million in a Florida lottery scratch-off game, his lump sum payment $790,000. But that's still not enough to get the 52-year-old to quit the job he has had for about 30 years as a school bus driver. Thomas says he's planning to use some of his winnings to help his parents. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Do I really sound cynical that everybody disagrees with me? No, 99.9% of the people. That's it. Let's get back to talking about UFOs, not about the next Superman movie. Because now there's going to be, because they want to be politically correct, another race, Superman. You know, that's okay. That's cool. And that's produced by J.J. Abrams. And I don't want to get involved in my feelings about J.J. Abrams and how he screwed up Star Trek. I just did.
I think you just did. Yeah, it sounds like you walked right into it pretty deep. Right there. Superman, you know, there's a cultural significance to Superman that's always been there because he represents the person that everybody wishes was real to right the injustices in the world that they see happening, but that nobody seems to be able to actually manage.
And remember, he's the ultimate alien.
Isn't that right, Preston? Like it seems like the people are doing the same thing with aliens. They want, you know, there's the Space Brothers. They're going to come down. They're going to save the world. Or are they? Like, have you interviewed people where, because I know you've interviewed contactees and stuff, they're not intervening, it seems like, in any kind of way. Or they seem to wish us well, but that's about all.
In some cases, they do intervene. Individually and sometimes in large groups. There was one case I found very interesting. This was in one of my prior books. I interviewed this lady by the name of Pat Cates, who had experiences her whole life, gray type ETs, UFO dreams, she called them. She'd find herself on board, described pretty much typical experiences until one time, this is in 1984, she finds herself standing outside of a UFO. It's early morning. And she's looking down over what looks like a village, maybe in South America or somewhere. She could tell it wasn't the U.S. It didn't look like that. But she wasn't sure where. She's standing next to a human-looking E.T. in a blue jumpsuit. She assumes it's an E.T. because there's grays walking around underneath this UFO. And this alleged E.T. takes her into this village, and they start pulling people out of their homes and pulling them on board a craft. And not just one or two. She was at this for hours. Wasn't sure why she obeyed them. Everyone just followed like sheep. They pulled several hundred people. Like several hundred? How many? She's like, well, honestly, it was probably over 1,000. And nobody questioned anything. Next thing she knows, you know, they pull these people on board. The craft lifts up, and there's a huge explosion off in the distance, a volcano. And this wall of mud, debris, and ice, and houses, and bodies come sweeping over this town and just buries it. Said it was horrific. The UFO dips down, picks a few people out of the mud, and does this several times. And next thing she knows, it's landing in her driveway back in Louisiana. And she's being escorted back into her bed, wakes up the next morning thinking, wow, that was a zinger. You know, what a, she calls up her friend. Says, I had one of the craziest UFO dreams I've ever had, and describes it to her friend. Her friend's like, Pat, hang up the phone and turn on the TV right now. So she does, turns on the TV, and there's her UFO dream in full color on every channel. The town of Armero, the volcano in Nevada del Ruiz, had just exploded and buried the town of Armero in Colombia. 23,000 people were killed. Buried under mud. And now she's thinking, what the heck did I experience? You know, were people being rescued from this volcanic explosion? That's what she believes happened. I have a book on this case, by the way.
Were you able to locate any of the people who were rescued?
Or No. I asked her, I'm like, what do you think happened to these people? She's like, I don't know. No, they couldn't put them back on Earth very well because presumably they're dead. But I don't know. Perhaps they were rescued. She had to go to a therapist over this. It upset her really badly.
Like, I wonder if there's people wandering around down there now going like, I should have been dead, but somehow this thing happened to me down there. Like, you'd think that there'd be by now, like, you know, if there was 1,000 people, they'd all be from the same town. They'd all be getting together and going, what the hell happened to us?
I'm not so sure they're here on Earth anymore.
Maybe that these ETs thought, well, you know, they're all going to die anyway. Maybe we could just take a few specimens.
One lady I interviewed, the ETs told her a bunch of stuff. And one of the things they told her, if people should go missing from this planet, it's us, and it's being done for the greater good. And now there's this whole missing 411 phenomenon going on. With, you know, David Paulides and a bunch, Steph Young and a bunch of other people writing books on this. All the people missing from national parks and so forth. And I'm wondering, because there are cases of people who've been taken and not returned. Look at that pilot, Frederick Valentich, or Felix Monfils, right. Jr.
Yeah, yeah, we've all heard these stories like that, but that's a real doozy, that one. Wow. Yeah, and so, well, getting back to how we started the show with disclosure, then people are going to be going, well, okay, that's how deep it goes. It's like, okay, if they're real, the ramifications of it go a lot deeper than just, oh, yeah, you know, they're out there and they happen to fly around and just chase them every once in a while.
Yeah, all those government study projects, Blue Book, accounting committee, every single one of them said, UFOs are no threat to national security, which kind of always made me laugh. Because I'm like, well, I mean, if they're abducting people, if they're taking them on board, shutting off our missiles, chasing our jets, I think from a military standpoint, these guys have got to be freaked out and probably do think it's a national security threat. I don't. I don't think they're here to take over our planet. I don't think there's any good evidence that they're here to eat us for lunch or breakfast or dessert or anything like that. But I do think they're here in large numbers. I do think people are being taken on board. I think the evidence for UFOs is pretty much conclusive in the public arena.
In the public arena. I mean, there's enough of us who know. We were just talking about this with Jonathan Lice the other day, and there's he was a military guy, and so, you know, I asked him, I said, okay, so there's us out here, we know. Like, you might say we don't have that, you know, that conclusive proof, but there's enough people from their own firsthand experiences who know that this is going on. And in the military, well, they've got to know because they've got all this tracking equipment all over the world and in space and everything, they have to know. So they know and we know. So how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I do have a number of whistleblower cases in this latest book.
Well, let's talk about a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, one I was really happy to be a part of was the Malmstrom incident, 1967, very famous case. Robert Salas was the first whistleblower who came out and described how UFOs came over Malmstrom, where we have nuclear missiles, and they shut them down. Not just one, but all of them. It caused a huge uproar. He was did not actually see it. He was down underground, but had people calling him saying, oh, there's the UFOs at the front gate. There's UFOs at the missile site. And he was the first guy to come forward and reveal this. Since then, there's been a number of witnesses who've confirmed this. And I talked to this gentleman by the name of Mel Hansen. He's elderly and heard this on TV. And I said, oh, okay, I guess it's public now. I can talk. And he tried to contact a number of researchers and radio stations, and no one seemed interested. He found me, and I'm like, wow, yeah, I'm interested. Are you kidding? He was actually at one of the missile sites working on it. He did maintenance on these sites and was there when suddenly one of these objects shows up right over the missile itself. Very low, very large, blocked off the stars. And he radioed into his superiors, like, we got something over our missile site here. And they're like, stay in the Jeep, don't get out, just stay there. And he got out. He wanted to see what it looked like. Couldn't really make out what it looked like. It was just sort of a dark silhouette, but totally silent. And it shuts down the missile site.
I don't want to say that the UFO pilots are peaceniks, but we've got a break with Gene Randall and Preston. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$50,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so are the UFO knots peaceniks, Preston Dennett?
I think so. I think probably they're, you know, the people at this base were not so convinced, because what happened was it shut down the missile site, which of course has backup power. Immediately after it shuts down, it goes on to the diesel generator power. And it was just a few moments when they shut that down. And they have backups. This missile site went back online using battery power. And that was shut down too. So boom, 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 three fail safes went offline until it was completely shut down. Yeah, from a military standpoint, they have got to be freaking out, thinking, oh, you know, this is, what are they doing? He didn't see any little green men. He says it's not like portrayed in science fiction. It was just this very large object hovering there. And he thought maybe they were testing their abilities. In my mind, this was just a clear message about us messing with nuclear weapons. Because that has always been the number one message from anyone taken on board who gets more than, you know, don't be afraid, we won't hurt you. If anyone gets a message, by and large, I can pretty much expect it's going to be something along the lines of, why are you messing around with nuclear power? You know, why are you guys so warlike and aggressive? Why are you polluting your planet? This sort of thing. So I think this Malmstrom incident was a clear message on the part of the ETs. Not a hostile act. It was just a little bit of a warning saying, we will stop you if you try to use these weapons.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you know, there we go. We've got the alien intervention for the good of mankind happening. I mean, that is a Superman-type move right there when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. He was told not to talk about it. Officials made it very, very clear. But he says, you know, I'm an old guy here. I want to do my part for disclosure. No, why not?
Well, I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I've been somewhat standoffish on the whole nuclear missile and the Salus case and all of that, because looking into it, of course, I look into the side of the skeptics as well. And, you know, they were saying that it's all pretty much hearsay. This person was not there. He heard it not even just secondhand, but third hand from somebody else who, and then they tried to get a hold of those people and they didn't really see much of anything. And then they found, they went and looked even further and found where the actual part that had failed was, and it was just an electronic relay. And when that relay goes down, everything goes down because it's just how it works. It's a chain reaction type of effect. And so it was just a part that had burnt out. Now, you know, so you kind of go, well, okay, this whole story doesn't really seem to hold together very well, but talking to a first-hand witness who was there, who actually saw something, like this wasn't at Malmstrom. This was at another base, you're saying, right?
No, this was at Malmstrom.
Oh, it was at Malmstrom. Yeah, so it's like first-hand witness, that's a whole other story. Like I give first-hand accounts a lot of credibility, I mean, assuming that they're telling the truth. So that's a really interesting addition to this case.
Yeah, Robert Sounce was certainly interested in it. Because he's got, there are a number of witnesses who have come forward firsthand. It's not relying on one witness. And for that matter, the Malmstrom incident is not unique. Anything nuclear has a UFO history behind it. A number of the military officers I've spoken with, and there are a number of them, have described similar incidents. I talked to one guy, Ray Sachs, an electrician's mate on the USS Klamagar, 1971. They're heading up the East Coast. When a USO shows up on the surface in the submarine, the Klamagar, heading at around 12 knots, when this underwater object comes zooming up at over 100 knots and paces the submarine for a good 15 minutes. The commander saw it, the second in command. He was on watch duty with another petty officer. And they all saw it. It wasn't on the sonar. So that was strange. But one by one, all the major officers came up on deck because they wanted to see it too. And the Klamagar was not known at this time, but now we know, did in fact carry nuclear-tipped torpedoes. Yeah, Ray Sachs, great witness. I verified his employment, the whole deal. So many cases where anything nuclear, whether it's a power station or a, you know, a missile base or a guided missile cruiser, or a submarine, UFOs are there.
Well, this whole thing with the exercise just off the coast, actually down where you are there with the Nimitz that they're talking about now that led to this leading up to this whole possibly disclosure thing was a big military training exercise. I mean, yeah, they seem to be definitely interested in our military, no question about it.
Yeah. By the way, I just did a show with Expedition X, Josh Gates. They wanted to cover the whole Catalina Island complex of sightings. I've got 150 cases I've documented there of objects over the water, coming in and out of the water, darting around underwater at high speeds. And they brought out their heavy-duty equipment and caught three pretty major events. Boy, there's one piece of footage. This show just aired where they caught something coming right up out of the water. It is really good. Some of the best I've seen, actually.
Where do we get to see this?
This is on the Discovery Channel, Expedition X, with Josh Gates. Yep. Just aired. Sure they'll repeat it. And that was not the only footage they caught. Often these reality shows, you know, go through a whole hour where they're hunching around, tromping through whatever. It's all kind of just fluff.
Well, we've been so saturated with all of this now that I used to spend hours sifting through all of the films and videos and stuff that people put on YouTube, and there would be nothing substantial there. Once in a while you'd go, well, that's pretty interesting. I don't know exactly what that was, but it would be the exception, and it would be this little clip somewhere buried in, you know, one of those other shows between, you know, 20 or 30 other clips, and there would be no reference to who it was or where it was. It would be just, and we got this video from somebody in some place, and that was all it would say about it. You know?
Yeah.
And so I gave up. I just gave up because you can't tell anymore.
Yeah. Footage is great. It's all well and good. A UFO photograph, but unless you have an eyewitness willing to stand behind it, forget it. I don't want to hear it because it's too easily faked. Photoshop can, you know, show just about anything.
But well, you took the MUFON field investigating course. I mean, do you even take, you know, somebody phones in or says, or you see something, it's like, oh, look, somebody did a UFO report. From where? I don't know. Who are they? I don't know. Where was it? Well, I'm not sure. Do you even pay any attention to it then? You know,
like it's, well, I'm willing to look at all reports. But you can instantly tell when something has real pay dirt in it. What I like is when people have moving photographs from multiple locations. And that is so, so rare. But a lot of people have cell phones now, and they film something, and their family is there, and they're willing to stand behind it. I'm talking to one guy right now from Kentucky. He's filming these guys pretty regularly. I've shown it to other contactees who have a pretty good idea of what UFOs look like, and they're like, yeah, this looks like what I saw. So there is good footage out there, but you have to really sift through a lot of chaff to get the good gold nuggets there.
Well, how come? Okay, so you've talked to all of these people over the years, and we know about the alleged concern that the aliens have for our well-being in terms of our ecology and the ability for us to make war on ourselves. But we know all this. We've been telling ourselves this. We don't really need them to tell us. But it wouldn't hurt if they actually really made it plain and clear that they're here, because then we might take their message more seriously than the way that they're going about it all kind of back, shadow and smoke and mirrors and everything. If they would just come out and hover over a city and say, like, look, get it together, maybe then people would take them seriously. So why don't they?
Yeah, this is what Michio Kaku said on TV recently or on the internet. Like, why don't they just land on the White House lawn? And I'm like, oh, gosh, well, do you not know about what happened in the 1950s? Well, they nearly did, but what did we do? We chased after them, and we're pretty hostile towards them when they start to land next to the Capitol.
And if the ET is into pop culture, they saw the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. So what happened when Klaatu's spaceship landed? Well, he wants to give a gift for the president, and he takes it out of his pocket, and he's shot down. Yeah. Hey, we've got more to come with Press and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.